It's the morning DNA for November 29th.
Today.
For today, whatever that is, 2021. I'm Aaron Dicer, the man of a single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions, ready to pour her coffee all over her keyboard. And we're going to find out what today is made of.
Listen, it's just the camera angle. I have a perfectly level cup of coffee. It's fine. All the equipment is safe. And if you keep saying it, you're gonna curse me. You're gonna make it happen.
Listen, I don't have a lot of anxiety in my life. But open containers near expensive equipment.
Oh no, Aaron. Oh no.
All right, it's been a great 30-second show today. We will see you guys next Monday. I have to go process some things. How are you? How was Thanksgiving?
Good. Oh my gosh, it was so crazy good. Yeah. And crazy and good and also good and crazy. All the different varieties, which is not very many, of the words good and crazy. We realized, so we had guests in from out of town and they asked the question the night before. So like on Wednesday evening, they said, so we're going to have stuffing, right?
Sure.
And it just wasn't on the list. See, mm-hmm. I didn't plan much this year. It was kind of like a, you guys got this, just tell me what I've got to do when I got to do it sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so we realized in that moment that there is no plans for stuffing. So then it was like a late night run to the store to get supplies, but it worked out really well. We had delicious food. My mother brined the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So it had just been soaking up the crazy goodness for hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, it came out and it was just like succulent turkey that had really great flavor. And all the food came out at the exact same time. We had three people cooking in the kitchen at once and nobody spilled anything or got into any arguments. And it was a chill vibe and it was wonderful. And 10 out of 10 would recommend that dinner. It was so yummy. So good. Yeah, but it was like a chill at our house. It was just a ton of dishes though. Like,
yeah,
holy moly. I've learned about that when you cook, that you have dishes to do afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Super normal thing. I get that now, you know, but Thanksgiving's like the next level. I think Justin managed 4 or 5 rounds of dishes easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like we're in charge of cooking and then he was in charge of cleaning and then, you know, other people were in charge of Iris. So we all had this like little cool symbiotic sort of like family thing happening that was really cool and wonderful. And the food was great. The conversations were fun. We had a guest from out of town, so that was always fun too. And yeah, part of my experience with Thanksgiving is going to fuel my question for today. So I'm excited to chat.
Yeah, mine too. I think that's normal. I think that's normal when you go through like a big holiday like that.
You had to travel though.
Oh, indeed
I
did.
How was that?
It was terrible. It was, the travel part is always terrible. The family part, the food part, the fun part, you know, that's always good. So yeah, had a good time. We were in Michigan for Thanksgiving, where family still is. My wife's family specifically, and yeah, so we had a smoked turkey, not a brined turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So had that nice smoky flavor, depending on what kind of flavored wood chips you smoke it in, and that whole kind of thing. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
I've never had a smoked turkey before.
Well, it's like turkey, but it tastes smoky.
Great,
which people like that.
It's like paprika, but smoked paprika.
My favorite part of the spread is always the green bean casserole. I don't know what it is about like green beans and like mushroom soup and little onion tangles, but it's like the best.
Man, the onion tangles. The trick is you have to put the onion crisps in just right before it goes into the oven so that it has its best chance of being crispy on the inside of the casserole.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add extra to the top because it's the crumbles are my favorite part too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had a lot of stuff going on in the chat.
Yeah, Jagged says, so I have an early you question. What's the story behind Aaron's 10 a.m. turkey dinner? No, that's just Aaron making a social media post about a dinner from several years ago. That the dinner was not actually happening at 10 a.m. when I posted that.
But it could.
But it could. Hey,
it could last all day long.
Hey, you do your turkey time whenever it's your turkey time.
I also like that Ian, who is still visiting from the UK, pops in and says, "Hey, Aaron, I'm in your kitchen. Do you want anything?"
Nope, I'm good. I'm good. I got my water. Good. That's all I need.
And then he updates that now he is technically in the basement. So I think we're going to just be getting updates throughout show as to Ian's location.
He's saying I technically now own his basement. So somebody asked,
did he purchase your house?
If he's squatting, he was like, nope, it's mine down here. And, you know, I don't blame him. We have given him the basement. So
A huge hello to Jacob the Hodge, who's Jacob. Watching live for the first time.
It's great to have you.
Aids, not able to listen, but hi, Aids. Good to see you. Gosh, you guys are amazing. Joseph, JCD says, by the way, Dicer, thanks again for stopping by the quiz day yesterday in the CinemaSins Discord. Feel free to pop in whenever you want.
Yeah, that actually plays into my topic for today as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, is from Real Mikey Alexander, who says, how bad would it be if we all started to send Aaron pics of drinks on the edge of the table?
That's fine. I don't care. You can put your drinks on the edge of the table. Just don't put them in your expensive equipment.
That's the one.
Drop your drinks all over the floor. That stuff cleans up. I'm not worried about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's how it is.
That is how it is. Well, you want to shoe a dough?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, I guess.
Well, let's do it. We're going to do the DNA in you. So we are going to take a look at a D topic, an A topic, and as many U topics as we can get through. We do have a hard out today.
We're going to be on a speed run today.
Yeah,
so
maybe
prepare
even
yourselves.
Five till. So get those U questions ready. So we'll get through these topics pretty quickly. We want to hear what you have to say. D, what's your topic?
Mine is about games because it always happens at Thanksgiving for my family. We are a gaming family, so we don't usually sit around and watch TV afterwards. We try to have coffee and recover from the turkey buzz. More like a lull, really.
It's not much of a buzz when you eat turkey. No,
it's like you eat the turkey and then you have the sugar to counteract it. Yeah, you have to have, and if you wait too long on dessert, then you have to nap in between. So busted out the coffee and all this stuff. And my brother, many, many years ago, just gave me a tub of card games and tabletop games that he wasn't going to be playing anymore. And this one was inside it. It's called The Great Dalmudi. And I wanted to tell you guys about it. So this is what spurred my conversation today, which is just quite simply, what's your go-to game with your friends and family? Like, it could be dominoes and things that are easy. There's so many memories attached to certain ones.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we were going to play dominoes because we always do, but we opted for a new game and it is delightful. Here's the back. It says, life isn't fair. I mean, how wonderful of a game. Just to start off with, life isn't fair.
Wait, is this one of those games where the rules change and it's, or they make you angry because they're different? And I don't know. I just got a little bit of shivers about this.
Okay, so here's the thing. I want to try to avoid explaining games because you know how some people get triggered when it's like, can I tell you about this dream that I had?
Absolutely.
And they get
frustrated.
This is a smart
move. Yes.
Well, it's the same with explaining games sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm going to explain this game to you now. And then you guys have to listen and perceive rules, which is a pain in the butt. But I think I can kind of succinct it down or boil it down into whomever is playing, you have a rank. So you have the Great Dalmudi, then the Lesser Dalmudi, and then there's merchants, and then you have the Great Peon or something, and then the Lesser Peon or whatever they're called. It's like this.
We used to call this game Peon. We played it with face cards. Yeah. I know this game. Yeah.
Okay, totally. So this is this game. And the idea is that when you go out, then you get to be the Great Dalmudi the next round.
Right.
And so you actually have to get up out of your chair and reorganize yourself.
I love this game.
Okay, so the other interesting thing is the rules sort of embellish a little bit and go even further and encourage you to give the lesser peons or the greater peons, whatever, really bad chairs, or maybe you're wearing hats, or maybe they get the best drink or the best dessert. So there's it's kind of a fun party game in that it encourages you to get up and move, not a lot. Like you get to sit and play for a while, but it's, I've never played a game really like that since, what was it? Duck, Duck, Goose or something. And at first I was like, I don't want to get up. I'm comfortable, but it's really nice to just after Thanksgiving to force your butt out of the chair to kind of just shuffle around. So, yeah, I love this game. I want to know what your guys' games are and maybe even why, if we have enough time to go into it. But yeah, before we shift that way, my Twitch is blowing up. You guys are freaking crazy. Thank you, Slenda, and thank you, Slab, and thank you, JCD, for giving out subs to the community. I don't know what you guys are up to, but thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really cool. So this game, while you're looking for other people's favorite games, what's also interesting about this game is it kind of plays into reality in an interesting way, where like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Yes. And it's like, if you're like working your way up from peon is so hard. And you know, just staying as the king or the great Damudi or whatever it is in your version is, you know, that is, that's easy. Cause you have like certain rules that are specifically for you. You know, you get more cards to choose from. You get, you know, at least the version I played. But it's kind of one of those interesting things where it's like, yeah, this is kind of like real life where it's like when you're down, it's hard to get up sometimes. And
yeah, there's even like a way to have a revolution, but it's a really clever game and it can be done with face cards. You don't have to have a specific deck. Like I'm sure you could look up the directions online. This is the way that this deck is set. It just sort of has like funny little names. Like it has the Great Dalmudi card and like all that. So anyhow. Yeah. A fun find in a box of stuff that I never thought that I would get to play with. Let's go to the chat. Danger Suite says, Perudo. I think, is that a dice game? Or is it a board?
I'll look it up. I've never heard of Perudo. It looks like a dice game. Yeah. Yeah. Liar's Dice is another one. So it looks like it's a bluffing game.
Uh-huh. So there you go. That's fun. That is fun.
Yeah.
Jacob says Hand and Foot is our family's game.
Yes. Hand and Foot is so fun. It is like basically it's just making pairs in sets. And then, yeah, there's some really fun like point rules, like red threes are negative 300 and black threes are.
This is what we're not supposed to do.
I'm just telling you, this is a fun game. What separates Hand and Foot games? Here's the basic thing. What separates Hand and Foot games is the fact that after you're done playing your hand, you have a foot. You have a whole other group of cards you have to play. So it's like there's two stages to the round. So, yeah, it's really
interesting. We play a version of Dominoes called Trash Train, but it's also called Chicken Foot sometimes. People play a version of it called Chicken Foot, and that's what I thought it was going to be. But, okay. Yeah. I guess yours is cool, too.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you brought this up while you're looking for the next one, because... Mm-hmm. We play a game called Shanghai, which we've played with you, and you know, it's a card game. It's got, you know, whatever goes along with it. But our family plays a very specific version of this game that we have no idea where it came from, but it's played with rook cards instead of face cards, and like point assignments are weird and that. So we looked up the original Shanghai, and it's so different than what we play, and we played the original Shanghai, and I have to tell you, without knowing the game, I think this will still make sense. The original is so much less anxiety riddled than the way that our family has been playing it. And you get the sense over time, they just changed rules to make it more combative. Like it's really interesting to play the original where it's like, oh no, you know, there's many opportunities to do this versus the version we play where it's like life is on the line every single time a discard is played and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of neat.
It's funny. Yeah.
You like, you know, when your game, when your family takes over a game and makes it their own. Polly says games. Oh, it's always quote unquote family games that are about dice or answering questions. Best we played was Azul and Suro. T-S-U-R-O. Polly then adds, I will never play Clue or Uno with the family again, and there are probably stories there, which reminds me of a better question is what game won't you play with your family ever again? Because I have those. Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Azul looks like a colored tile game, which reminds me of that game that you introduced us to with the like different blocks that you had to put in arrangement.
Sagrada.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Sagrada a little bit. Yeah.
Jagged says, my kids are little still, so we only just started playing board games with them, but we really enjoy the junior version of Ticket to Ride. We have gotten a couple of kid games. One of them is Pete the Cat's Button Game, which is a really simple kind of game that she really, really enjoys. We also did Chutes and Ladders, which is a fun one for just learning, like, sometimes you go up and sometimes you go down. And then we did Candyland, and Candyland is such a simple game. It's really, really simple. So those are ones we've been enjoying. Of course, we're like puzzle mm-hmm. people, so now we're just like doing yeah. puzzles all the time too.
You know, one game you introduced me to was a game that now is a little weird to play, and that is Pandemic. So pre-pandemic, there's a board game called Pandemic where you work together to try to stop a pandemic from happening using, you know, whatever the rules of the game are. But it's a little weird to play that now because it's a little too real. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that one's not as easy to play. You're not wrong about that.
No.
I like this interjection from Slab, unrelated. People don't like hearing about my dreams. Listen, I also was shocked to hear this because I have high fantasy adventure dreams. And I'm like, let me tell you about this dream. I think I know what it means. I think I understand the interpretation of it. I think I know what my subconscious is doing. And then I realized that, you know, not everybody likes that.
Not everybody, but some people do. It's like anything. If you have a shared interest, then you'll be excited to hear about it. But if not, then it just kind of sounds like, you know, the adults in Charlie Brown, you know, like it's just like when I talk about movies, like I start for yeah. Danae, I start to sound like the adults in Charlie Brown.
Wah, wah, wah.
And then there are things like, you know, showing people your vacation photos that are always just a little bit like,
I mean, I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah.
One time our friend that we worked with went on this like hike across the, like, I think it was the Appalachian Trail or something mm-hmm. and came back with 4 slide wheels and like came to work and erected a massive projector. Mm-hmm. And we were all were thinking like, oh, cool. It's going to be like a fun like reunion. So-and-so is back.
Nice.
And then we all sat down and he like clicked through all of them, and just as everyone realized that this was our life for the next 45 minutes or longer,
yeah,
like the oof
definitely.
Polly says it's kind of a shame that Patchwork is only 2-player. Yeah, you gotta think about your group.
Patchwork.
Yeah. That reminds me too, it's important too to look at like how many people can play. Mm-hmm. I think this one is best starting with 5 people. So it's designed to be more of a group party game, which is
fun.
Yeah, I see many. There's Cards Against Humanity conversations happening.
Mm-hmm.
Probably adds Alhambra or La Harva. I don't know. Board game. Ooh. Okay, I want to look all these up. These mm-hmm. are really, really great. Jacket says, I can't wait for my kids to get old enough to play chess. I don't have anyone to play with. Well, there is the internet. I just want to let you know.
One of my sons plays a lot of chess. I can give you his username on the chess app that he uses if you want.
Do it. Okay. So I have so many, but I know that we're on a time crunch today, Aaron.
No, go
ahead. What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Go ahead. If you see,
you're in charge.
Like there's like exploding kittens. Okay. Whatever, that's
that from
sounds.
Oatmeal.
Oh, I think.
I can't remember his. Is that it? Oatmeal is enough that we remember? We know who that is now.
Yeah.
The online comic guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danger Sweet says, looking forward to the remake of Pandemic where you have to fight your way past anti-vaxxers to get into the research centers.
Ooh.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Nobody.
That's too real. That is a little too real. All right. We can move on to the A topic today. How do you handle long road trips? It is a 12-hour road trip to family in Michigan, and we did all of it in one chunk on the way there. We broke it up on the way back because we have friends about halfway back, and it was starting to, the weather up there was starting to get bad. I do not miss Michigan winters. Let me just tell you this. We actually saw somebody skid off the road. That's always fun on the expressway. They flew past us.
Your version of fun is scary.
They flew past, well, sarcasm a little bit.
Okay.
They flew past us way too fast for the conditions, and we saw their back end start to go, and they just kind of tried to readjust and found themselves off the side of the road in the ditch. But thankfully they didn't flip or, you know, go into oncoming traffic or anything like that. But anyhow, that was totally separate. But my question is, how do you pass the time? What is your favorite thing to do on a road trip to pass the time? Because we were on the road quite a bit, and
that's a loaded question.
I, my wife and I found ourselves in a rather rare instance, which will become more and more common, but we were actually, it was just us. We didn't have any kids with us on this road trip.
How
either.
Was that?
It was, I mean, that Quiet? Part of it was great. Yeah. we were able to have deep conversations. Like, that's my first answer on this road trip was we were able to connect, talk about deep things. Like, it was good. So that's always fun when you have somebody that you know, like talking to and conversing with.
Yeah. Long road trips kind of solo is awful.
Yeah. Lots of podcasts. lots of podcasts if I'm doing a solo road trip. Oh, there you go. Jacob says.
People.
Jacob says podcast. That's the answer. We do get to a point. Yeah. My wife and I both get to a point where we're like, I think we've exhausted all of our conversations. So
let's
podcast
just do
time.
Our own thing.
Yeah. And we both just listen to our own podcasts. So yeah. Yeah.
I think I haven't been. How long was the trip for you again? How many hours?
It was like 12, 12 and a half. Yeah.
I haven't taken a 12-hour road trip in forever. The longest I mean, 6 to 8 is usually the longest that I'll, you know, have
yeah,
on
I'm
a drive.
At about 9, I'm like, okay, this is a little much, but
yeah.
6-hour road trip is fine. I'm totally good with a 6-hour road trip. That's, you know, I can manage that pretty well.
Having had one recently, there and back to Nashville. Mm-hmm. I had you on the way to Nashville and mm-hmm. then you and Ian on the way back. Mm-hmm. And those went fast because you've got conversation, you've got laughter, there's lots mm-hmm. of memories to share, and then music. So I think mm-hmm. my go-to answer is going to be music.
Nice.
Because it's really fun to hear. We did this thing, Aaron and I did this thing on the way out, which was really great. Like, he'd play a song and it would remind me of a song. So then we'd add that one to the playlist. We'd hear that one and just kind of became this ongoing like mm-hmm. thing. So we listened to all kinds of music. We sang really loudly and it was just that passes the time for me. And it kept me motivated to drive because driving on a road trip is no mm-hmm. fun for long periods of time. And you have to stay awake. Yeah. You have to stay engaged. So yeah.
Totally. Michael's got a good one. For long road trips, snacks and putting a funny video on, like a stand-up. And no water. Yeah, when I'm on a long road trip, I kind of have to, you know, not do my usual water thing. Otherwise, it's an even longer road trip with stops every hour and a half to 2 hours.
To questionable bathroom locations.
Oh, my goodness. I have some great bathroom stories from this road trip.
Or the one that you were on with for Thanksgiving.
All of them.
The one where you came out of the bathroom. And so we were pumping gas and we were at this old gas station.
I remember
station,
this. Yes. Yeah.
And the kind of old that the sign on the pump, non-digital pump.
Yeah. No card was, reader at mm-mm. all on this. This no, is old like school gas old, station.
Like,
yeah.
Ting, 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 ting. No, with all like the little mm-hmm. numbers yeah, and dials yeah, that yeah. switch over. There's like this handwritten sign that has been plastered to this device because the wind has come so many times and blown it away. It's like on cardboard.
Yeah.
It's just like, if a handle doesn't work, jiggle 3 times and shake to the left or something. It's like this weird in very specific
ironically
directions.
Sounds a lot like bathroom instructions. So
and then so you pumped and then went to the bathroom and you came back out and you just kind of sat there quietly like, so that was an experience.
I guess I'll start by saying this gas station bathroom was smaller than airplane bathrooms that I've used. Like it was one of those where, especially for a person like me, I have no choice but to make contact with the walls as I turn. Like, you know, it's just a human-sized box. And it was 2 steps up into this human-sized box. And so the sink that was in there was apparently heighted for the floor level because it was like at my knees. Because this thing was 2 steps up for some reason.
No.
It was insane. I've never seen anything like this. I have no idea. Like, they must have just crafted a bathroom out of
100%.
You know,
it used to be
so.
This was the kind of gas station that originally was just like a single standing room and a pump.
Yeah.
And they've just slowly added on and never, you know, because why would you? Because you live, it's like literally in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, we digress.
Yes, we do. But yes, what else did Michael mention? I know he mentioned the water, but there was something else.
You're welcome.
No. I was trying to remember. There were 3 things he said. But anyways, I think I can go back and find it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the stand-up thing is real, man. Like, we have used stand-up comedy for our long road trips for a lot of times. If this isn't something you've tried, it really does pass the time because it's just like you're laughing, you're finding stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. It has to be a good stand-up comic. I mean, don't put on one that, you know, that you don't think is funny. that should be common sense. But yeah, stand-up comedy really does pass the time.
Make this road trip great? Listening to someone bomb joke after right. joke after
that's
joke.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
It's like total. That's one of the ways to make a road trip 1,000 times longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is listen to someone bomb on their stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Go ahead.
JCD says passing time, podcasts, movies, 18 quizzes for Syncord. That's an interesting thing to use your time wisely, especially if you've got somebody in the car with you that you can like dictate mm-hmm. to if you're driving.
Right.
Arrange a surprise for the people that I'm in a D&D campaign. Great ideas can come to you on a road trip.
And I would mention them. I did spend some of my road trip yesterday, as JCD mentioned, hanging out in the Syncord and doing like a quiz thing with them, which was really fun. It was really, really interesting. Like there was a site where you would go like hit a buzzer to buzz in and then you would say your answer, that kind of stuff. So
that's yeah. fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Audiobooks, a yes. great one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially definitely. If it's not one of the people that has a really relaxing voice. Make sure that the book is not about 15 ways to relax.
My wife, for part of the podcast, check this out. She knew, or part of the road trip, she knew we were going on a long road trip. She's in classes now to be a nurse. She read her textbook and recorded it and listened to the text, her reading her own textbook on the way.
Oh, that's so smart.
Part of the way. Yeah.
Get it.
So.
Shove that education deep into your brain skull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Lolly says that can't read in a car without feeling nauseous. So it's podcast, music, or chat. Mm-hmm.
I've never had that problem. I've heard people have that problem with like reading while in a vehicle. I've never had that issue. Or like watching something on your phone or something. Like the stuff moving outside the windows tricks the eye somehow and it makes it hard to focus on
that's
something.
That's interesting.
And so people get nauseous. But I haven't experienced that. But I know a lot of people.
We had this pop up in the chat last time, but I will bring it up again. Danger Sweet saying, this sounds insane. If you drive 12 hours in any direction in the UK, you would hit water.
Yeah.
Not the case here. You could drive for days and days and still not hit water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I basically, drove like 1.5 UKs or almost 2 UKs from, you know, top to bottom, which, definitely.
Thanks for the sub, Chris. You guys are amazing. Aaron and Danae on Infinite Playlists is Polly's suggestion. Go. I mean, we do have a lot of content out there. You could actually play us for a while. You'd have to go back to the beginning days of Shoe the Dough. And I often think cringy thoughts about that. But at the same time, it's sort of fun to have our history someplace for people to listen to. And it's like an example of growth and just the thought experiment of putting content out there that just stays. It's something that we've both tried to make important, I guess. Although
it's
we have thought about completely, like just taking all of our archives and just archiving it and starting over fresh. So that's still mm-hmm. an option for us. But like as of right now, you know, you can go back and listen to so many hours of content, like so much.
We've had this conversation. I just this week listened to another podcast who was talking about why they don't have old episodes available. Mm-hmm. And it was a personal anxiety thing for them.
Yeah.
And
I have that sometimes.
I totally get that because I think it is very, in a content heavy environment, it is very easy to forget how people grow, how people change, how culture grows, how culture changes. I think we just kind of made the decision that it's more honest, for now, it's more honest and authentic to process that stuff and to hope that you'll give us grace for, you know, any, you know, changes. I've re-listened to some of that stuff. It's not as bad as I think it is in my mind. Like, it's not bad. It's just we've absolutely changed. We've changed as people. We've changed, you know, me probably more than Danae, I even think. But, yeah,
I think so. Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations. We've had a lot of interviews with people, and I like those. I mean, there's some interviews that I love that people can go back and listen to and hear the core mm-hmm. of who I am, you know, even then or whatever, that there's some parts of me that will likely never change because they're just parts of who I am or just a way that I think that's pervasive. But
yeah.
Anyway, that was an interesting thought process. So
almost
thank
a decade
you for bringing
ago,
that one
by
up,
the way,
Polly.
This next year will be, this next summer, it'll be 10 years.
July
since
will
we
be
started.
Our 10 year. And for that's when we will burn Shoe the Dough to the ground in one final wonderful, like, artistic experiment of creation.
I wasn't aware we were doing this. Maybe further conversations to happen about that.
Real Mikey Alexander says, by myself, it is constant music and naps at rest areas. But while with others, it's taking turns driving and music and conversation. I prefer not to stop until we get there. That is a challenge, depending on where you're going.
Yeah, I'm similar. I like to push through, a stop every 3 to 4 hours is probably best, best case scenario. You got to stop for gas every 5 hours or so.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on where you live. Because again, like Real Monkey says, I live in the UK, rarely have long road trips. My gosh, it's okay. It's fine. We're from different places. It's great. But once we went to Scotland, says Real Monkey, and have stops every couple of hours and change drivers and each stop. So it made it easier for each person to drive. That's
imagine living on Cayman Island or, somewhere where, you literally could see everything on the island in 5 hours. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting to think about that if you want to go anywhere, you're getting on a boat or a plane. Like, you aren't driving. Like, I think in America, it just feels like, oh, we could drive pretty much anywhere. It may take us a while, but yeah, it's interesting.
Well, shall we get into the
questions? Okay. So this is where we get our questions from you. Just put a U at the beginning and we will answer them as many as we can get through this morning. Whatever you guys want to talk about. If there's a topic that's on your heart that you want to hear conversation about, if there's something that you are asked, I have no idea what's going on, but that was amazing. the U questions are open. So go ahead and send those our way.
And you. Okay. We forgot to zoom in earlier. Hey, look, my puppies.
I also forgot to show you my dogs. Can you see my dog?
Hi, puppies.
Hold on. Nope. Look how
there
cute.
There are the doggies. JCD has the first U question. How often do you remember dreams with specific details? Had a romantic dream last night where I remember exactly what was going on. Ooh. Oh, do tell, JCD. Romantic, you say?
Listen.
It's amazing.
I dream in intense detail. Since having Iris, it has been more difficult to cling on to the details as I wake up because it's like I wake up and then it's just this deluge of responsibility that just falls down into my subconscious and begins to eat away at all of the things that help me to hold on to my imagination. But my whole life, I have had very, very intense dreams. I sometimes remember colors. I sometimes remember smells, things that like you shouldn't have in dreams, but that were present in dreams. I've had dreams that are in such vivid detail that when I've told things have happened in my actual real life that are so similar to the dream that I wondered if I was still dreaming. So yeah, I'm a that person and I love dreaming. It's my favorite.
I've gone through many phases with dreams.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
During adolescence, I dreamt a lot. I don't think that's unusual. And pretty detailed stuff. And I remember doing lucid dreaming when I was an adolescent. Like I was able to kind of know I was in a dream and control the dream a little bit. Like I remember doing that stuff. But then as I got older and stuff kind of dominated my brain, I just stopped dreaming altogether. In the last few years, I've started dreaming more. I think a lot of it for me has to do with REM sleep and where I wake up in my sleep cycle. Because I think dreams are the most vivid and memorable in that REM cycle. So totally. Medina says, you topic anyone watching Wheel of Time? Unfortunately, no.
That came up at Thanksgiving.
It's kind of like a D&D show, right? Like it's high not fantasy, technically probably. D&D, but it's very high fantasy. From what I understand. Yeah.
My aunt, whom I adore, was here for Thanksgiving and she is a massive Wheel of Time fan. And so we've had the conversation. I am not watching it, but I haven't read the material either. And my question to myself is, do I want to read the material before watching it? Because she loves it so much.
There's so much material though, Danae. There's so many books.
I know.
Okay.
So yeah, I feel like I feel like it's one of those where the pain of it, if it doesn't go well for true fans, is kind of the thing that we talked about. Like, mm-hmm. my aunt won't watch it because she's so freaked out because she loves the material so much and she's really genuinely afraid of what they're going to do with it. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not watching it yet, but I really want to.
It just hasn't crossed over into the culture in a way that I feel like I'm interested in watching it yet. So we'll see. It might at some point.
Do we answer this one yet? Because I want to go into this one.
Go for it.
Have you ever had the ability to control what happened in your dreams? For example, if I'm falling in a dream, I can control myself and go flying. Aaron kind of mentioned the lucid dreaming just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. I do have some that I can do that with. And I do have some dreams where I realize that I'm dreaming and kind of can take more control of a situation. When I was younger, I had this very specific dream that when it started, I knew where it was going and I could manipulate it slightly and I would fly. But I haven't had that dream in a long time.
Yeah, it hasn't been since I was a teenager that I've been able to lucid dream. But flying was a big one. It was all, you know,
so,
it was like,
so
oh,
fun.
I'm dreaming. I'm going to go fly.
Amazing. Why wouldn't you?
You know, what's interesting, I do remember when lucid dreaming that I did have this thing that my mind would do where it'd be like, okay, you're lucid dreaming, so now you're waking up. But then I would wake up into another dream. And it's like my brain was trying to trick me into, you're not lucid. Let me control this. You don't need to do that. And so it would wake me up into a different thing. And then I'd be like, wait a second. We're still dreaming, aren't we? And then I'd control it again. It's weird, man, to play games with your mind while you're sleeping. But I remember that pretty vividly.
Or when your dreams do that thing where it's working through something in your real life and then you have like a work dream because you're just working through real life stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you have to go to work. That's the worst. That is the worst kinds of dream. Like when it's so real and so vivid and so intense and you're in this like really, really like very specific space. And you wake up and
But you know what's worse, or maybe not worse, but equally bad, is when you're lucid dreaming and you can't wake up and you want to. Like when you're in a dream and you're like, okay, I'm ready to wake up or whatever, and you like cannot get yourself to wake up. Like shaking yourself up from a lucid dream, I remember was very painful and scary in many ways. So yeah, mm-hmm. Fun topic. Fun topic
for
sure.
Topic.
Other you questions, feel free to get them in while you're doing that. Medina says 14 books in the
series. And also adds, I didn't read the books before watching the show and I was so confused. See, that's good to know. Because you can do that. That's a choice that you make when you're creating mm-hmm. content. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I recently had a dream, says Castriff, where I quote unquote woke up 7 times. That's Inception. Well, you wake up in a dream and you wake up again, you wake up, wake up, and then you're actually like,
that's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. Yeah, my brain would continually try to put me in another, like, oh, you're waking up. Just kidding, still a dream. Yep, totally.
You're not awake yet. And when you wake up, guess what? You still have things to do.
JCD says, you question, Aaron, how much have you invested in tea for Ian? So much money. That man is costing us so much money.
This poor guy had few requests. We talked about this last week. No, just a little touch on it again. Like
that's
he
why
just
I say it
needed
like that,
milk,
he's so funny.
Hot water and some freaking tea, and U.S. people failing like consistently.
We haven't spent money. I mean, we did buy
a kettle.
We did buy a kettle, but we'll use it too. So it's not like you know. Yeah, totally.
Here's one addition from Medina who says, "Now I'm obsessed." Okay. This is getting better. All right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
On that same note from Jacob, I'm just going to close that really, really fast. Uh-huh, not sure how I feel about the Dune movie because I haven't read the books yet. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted Ian's and says, I'm in the next room and I heard that, Dicer. yeah, it's true. I'm teasing you. Just teasing you, Ian.
The truth is, says Lucas, we're all living in a dream. Or would it be a nightmare?
What do you think, Danae? Do you think it's possible this is a simulation? Do you think it's possible we're in some sort of highly advanced technological society that has, you know, whether it be AI or... Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I've done enough drugs that's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. Let me just tell you that. I know that I experienced some really strange and crazy, intense things that are unexplainable that seem very metaphysical. So sure. I don't think we're in a simulation, but it's it we could be. So your question is, are we or could we be? I think we could be. I think we could be
are
all kinds of things.
Are you open to the idea? Are you open to the idea that everything we're experiencing is just like input into a different machine or body somewhere else? So yeah.
Listen. Yes, I actually was. So we were in Tennessee. We were at this like food court that is essentially like a multi-story food court in the middle of downtown Tennessee because you can't stack enough restaurants there for people. So they have a food court. You walk into a building, you go up a flight of stairs, and it's like a mall food court after mall food court after mall food. It's pretty great. And there's all kinds of food options. There's all these people walking around. And I'm sitting there watching them like, is any of this real? And I wasn't on some sort of strange drug at the time. I'm just sitting there like, you know, people want to be other people so badly. Like, what if we're just trading subconscious? Like, I totally went there in my mind, but that's just how my imagination works. Sure. So sure. I don't know what's real, guys. I know I feel real. I well, think I'm me.
I know the monkey is real. Because Real Monkey has a you question for us. Have you seen Ghostbusters Afterlife? Any thoughts on it? I have indeed seen it. I think it was really fun for about three quarters of the movie, and then it overdosed on nostalgia in a way that I think kind of undercut everything that it was trying to. It's still fun. And if you like Ghostbusters, you'll definitely, you know, smile at some of the references or whatever. But overall, as a movie, I think it kind of undercut itself in many ways.
Good question. Good question.
Let's see. Any other new questions?
Is this just fantasy? And then you guys now have that stuck in your head. That's not my fault. That is easy JCD's come, fault.
Easy go.
Okay. Well, guys, listen, we have a interesting day today because of various things happening in our world. So we can't do a long show today. Sometimes we can. Today is just not one of those. So thanks for hanging out with us. Aaron, I'm going to look for where to send my Twitch friends.
Do it. I will tell you about all the things.
Tell them about all of the things.
Look, if you enjoy hanging out with us, there's several ways to do it. You know, obviously on our respective Twitches, YouTube, all those different places. Wherever you decide to hang out with us, hit that version of the notification bell, you know, because it'll let you know when we're going live, all that kind of stuff. And
it's
we still
important,
do.
Okay. You got to know.
We still do harbor ideas of going live some days other than Monday. So that might happen again. But yeah, so hit the notification bell. Also, if you want to follow us on social media, Twitter is kind of the place to do that for the most part. So you can do that with our Twitters. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
It's true.
And then you can also join Team DNA if you want to support what goes on here. You can do that at our Patreon, patreon.com/studioDNA. Still a D&D out there for possible next goal if we get up to 41
Dungeons
members
and
of
Dragons Team as DNA. With our friends. What?
So there you go.
That's true. And for my Twitch friends today, we're going to be going and watching drone footage because every once in a while, I just want it on the background. This is a purely selfish decision today. I would like to watch drone footage. And when I clicked on the Twitch channel today, there was a beach and these three lovely people just sitting on the beach waving to me. And then the drone takes off and now I'm looking at an ocean. And it's pretty great. And so we're going to go to SDS_drones. Today, just have something chill in the background. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Well, there you go. We will catch you on the next Monday or someday.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoe another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.